BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening.
Okay, welcome everyone. My name is Molly and I've got Sharna with me from the Skin Deep project. She's going to talk to us a little bit about this project, but first I'd like her to introduce herself a little bit about you, what your job is, and maybe just a little bit about the Skin Deep project, if that's okay with you.
Fab. Thank you, Molly. So my name's Sharna, as you said, and I am a paediatric resident doctor and I subspecialise in children's emergency medicine. So I work in children's A&E at Leicester Royal Infirmary at the moment. And I suppose I have an interest in medical education and also in early diagnosis. So I did a lot of work and still do a lot of work in the childhood cancer realm, but it sort of spills over into education and public health. And my role within Skin Deep is the media and awareness lead, which is why I am with you today.
So can you tell me a little bit about the Skin Deep project? What is the project and why did it start?
So the Skin Deep project is essentially a repository of paediatric images of all skin tones so that it can be used within medical education and also to raise awareness. So the project was started by the international medical education team called Don't Forget the Bubbles, or DFTB, and the Royal London Hospital. And at the time, sort of equality, diversity, inclusion, I suppose still is, but it was really high on the collective agenda. But we found it really remarkable that in this day and age, you know, we have the ability to choose from 60 different shades of makeup foundation, yet we could open a textbook or search an online resource and find no equity in the skin tone of images that we used. And within paediatrics, the diagnosis of not just dermatological conditions, but genetic conditions relies on the recognition of characteristic features. And they can present really differently depending on the skin tone. So for example, in A&E, in particular, cyanosis and meningococcal rashes, they're just two examples that highlight how difficulties in recognising those clinical signs, particularly in darker skin tones, can contribute to challenges with diagnosis and potentially life-threatening repercussions, really. And we found that most descriptions of rashes focused on redness or pallor, both of which are more difficult to recognise in darker skin tones, or may not be present at all. So this means that children and young people with darker skin tones are often not diagnosed correctly or as quickly than those with lighter skin tones. And that's how Skin Deep was born. So a paediatric global collaborative project started to address the lack of skin tone diversity of paediatric medical education images. And I was asked to be the media and awareness lead by Tessa, one of the founders. And here I am.
How did you do the project? Would it be patients maybe attending A&E and getting them to consent for photographs? How did you kind of start the project?
Absolutely. So I suppose the aim of Skin Deep was to improve the diversity of the images. And so to do this, we wanted to develop a free open access bank of high quality photographs. In a range of skin tones, so all skin tones really, but with a focus on the darker skin tones. So to do this, we set up a website and we invited healthcare professionals across the UK and the world actually to collaborate and be part of the project. We set up a streamlined process at different hospitals because you need the governance and ensuring that patient confidentiality was maintained and secure transfer of these photographs. And we also use dual approach, really. So not just healthcare professionals, but parents and carers as well. So they are able to submit their photographs through the website, and those photographs are then reviewed by a team of dermatologists to provide the correct diagnosis and clinical terms. And we also needed consent from parents as well for those that came through the hospital settings.
That seems quite a lot of work. Was that the most difficult part of the project, or what was the most kind of difficult part of starting the project?
So I think, yes, that getting, once we got the process into action, it was quite streamlined. But I think for us, when we were starting the project, unfortunately, the pandemic had just hit. So we were a new team who didn't really know each other very well, and we had to meet virtually. But actually, we mobilised really quickly, and we found a way to work really effectively. And also, due to the pandemic, it was really hard to get the same kind of awareness and traction and attention on the topic as we would have done previously. But actually, we found that a few months later, so coming into sort of summer of 2020, we saw quite an overwhelming response to the project. And it was initially housed under Don't Forget the Bubbles, but we ended up launching its very own website and social media channels because of the kind of reception that we had.
And I know you were talking about the focus being on having a free resource of a diversity of kind of skin tone, skin color, different presentations. Is there a certain reason why the project particularly focused on that element? Is it, as you were saying, the kind of lack of resources? Was it the lack of understanding about different, why was the focus on that area?
So I suppose we focused on a bank of photographs because we knew that that was where the gap was. And as a team of educators, we were lacking the means to educate about the topic because we didn't have the photographs or the images to be able to do that. And actually, even now, if you Google on Google Images measles, 95% or probably more of the images on the first page are of light skin tones. And the pictures that do come up, interestingly, are from Skin Deep repository. So they're either from local trusts that have used it or the NHS website that have used it. So that was probably why we focused on that initially. And I think one thing's really important to acknowledge, obviously I'm talking to dermatology specialists here, is that this was a specific gap within the free open access online resource community. We know that dermatologists over decades have published textbooks focusing on darker skin tones, which are excellent resources and are used by dermatologists daily, but often they're not purchased by other specialties.
Mm-hmm. And so, particularly, I think if your background is A&E, then that might be, you know, if you're getting a patient in A&E, you want something quickly to look up on your phone or on the laptop to use.
Absolutely. And I think textbooks are probably not used as much in postgraduate medical education. And obviously they're quite costly. So sadly, that's a real barrier to their use within other specialties. So, you know, that's why we decided to focus on that. But actually, as we started the project, we realised that there was also a real dearth of research data to understand the size of the problem. We knew there was a problem, but there isn't a lot of data out there about outcomes and how we make it better. So we also then developed a research aim, which was to understand the impact of the problem on healthcare professionals and on patient care, so that we can identify what more needs to be done sort of nationally and internationally to really level up on this.
And have you gotten feedback from clinicians, or how did you measure that kind of impact of having this repository of photographs available? How has that kind of been fed back to your team?
So we haven't done anything formally with regards to feedback, but we've had a lot of informal feedback from healthcare professionals about how useful the resource has been. I suppose our greatest impact, which is also sort of feedback in a way, is how widespread the use of our images have been. And that's been in textbooks. So in the world of paediatrics, we have a sunflower, we used to call it a sunflower textbook, but it's the illustrated textbook of paediatrics. It is, you know, the textbook of paediatrics, and our images are now in the latest editions of that. We had the GMC, General Medical Council, using our images within their exams, their pilot exams. And I suppose more importantly, when the outbreaks of scarlet fever and measles occurred, the Skin Deep images were used in BBC articles. They're now on the NHS website, the UK HSA videos around the outbreaks used the images from Skin Deep, and various local NHS boards have got them on their websites as well. So I suppose that that showed the need for images, especially as some of these images we only have one or two of, and they seem to be the ones that are being used again and again. So it really highlights that there's even more work to be done for us to collect even more images to be able to really understand the differences across different skin tones.
And for people that want to use Skin Deep, so let's say maybe there's a nurse working in a paediatric A&E or maybe a GP setting, and they want to find out how do they use it, how would they go about doing that?
So you can find us at dftbskindeep.com, and that is that's the website. It's, I would say, clearly laid out. But that I know I'm a bit biased, but you can search by diagnosis, you can search by body area. It's also got all the resources on there if you did want to submit photographs of your own. Yeah, that's where you'd find us.
And would you say the resources, you know, we've got nurses working in primary care, nurses working in secondary care, is it particularly aimed towards primary versus secondary care, or is it something that can be used across the whole entire spectrum?
Yes, it can be used in across the spectrum, helpful to both, really. I've often seen rashes in the department, and sometimes you can't quite recall which of a few diagnoses it might be. And that's been really helpful because I can take a picture on our you know, we use nerve center on our patient records of the patient's rash, come out and sort of do a bit of a comparison as well. And it's as useful to rule out which diagnoses it isn't as it is to rule in. So I found it really helpful.
And are there other resources that are available on the Skin Deep website other than clinical photographs?
Yes. So there are educational tools, I suppose, so quizzes to test your own knowledge as well. And of course, they've got a section telling you if you want how you'd get involved and how you would be able to submit your own photographs.
And is there a bit that you particularly like using? You were saying there's been times where you've compared different clinical photographs. Is there something that you find particularly useful?
I think the entire website is a bit of a treasure trove of learning. Dermatology is probably my weakest point, and I know that lots of my colleagues will say, oh, it's a rash. So I love just having a little potter on the website and looking for new images. But actually, one of my favorite parts is probably the quizzes. So if you want to test your knowledge, then please go and check these out.
And how useful do you think, you know, these photographs might be for nurses starting out, or the kind of resources? Is it helpful for that kind of difference between maybe you as a resident doctor in A&E versus there's different roles? So is it, you know, applicable for both?
I think it is applicable for both, although I know that sort of if you're already in the subspecialty of dermatology, you will have a lot more knowledge than I have. You know, so what I think is even more helpful for the nurses are also the educators. So, you know, a lot of what we did with this was saying to people, go and have a look at your slide deck, because there was lots of research out there that actually looking at slide decks that you don't change over the years, and you recycle again and again and again, you don't realize that actually your images might be out of date, or you don't have any images of your darker skin tones. So it's really useful from an educator point of view, where you can go and find some new images to put in your teaching. So that's another thing that would be helpful.
Yeah, that's a really great tip. And I think it's a really great tip to go back and, you know, just reevaluate, refresh, compare maybe if there was an old picture of lighter skin tone versus that newer picture of a darker skin tone. I think that's a really great tip. Is there anything else from the project that you guys are looking forward to doing, or any developments that you might be doing in the future yourself?
I think we are always looking for people to join the team. I think it's really hard with a project like this. You know, we all do it for love, and we all have busy jobs. And so sustainability is something that's really important with a project like this. So we were really grateful for you to reach out and asking us to record this podcast. So if there are any nurses that particularly would like to come on board amongst the team, that would be something that we would be looking for. And it certainly spurred us on to think about what we'd like to do next. We would also love to delve a bit more into the research a little, especially because there's been a recent study highlighting that this topic is a research priority for parent carers and healthcare professionals. So there is a network called Peruki, and I'm actually a rep on the exec, but it's a paediatric emergency research network, and they recently refreshed a list of research priorities for paediatric emergency medicine across the UK and Ireland. And this was led by Dr. Charlotte Sloan, and she is a rep on the exec, and it's the first global priority setting study for PEM using a validated framework. And it was the first study to partner with patients and carers and stakeholders groups throughout the entire priority setting process. And it came up with a list of research questions that are priorities for us to answer. And this particular topic was question 12 in the end. So it features really highly, which means we need to focus efforts on kind of researching what's important, implementing change to make sure that all children, young people, you know, reach a timely diagnosis regardless of the colour of their skin.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, particularly as we are a more diverse society, and recognising that every person is a unique individual and every person's skin is unique to them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. Is there any final points that you would like to say? I like to usually end our podcast with maybe top three suggestions. So what would be your top three points to remember for the end of this podcast?
So you can find us on dftbskindeep.com. So please check out the website. Number two, we are always looking for more images. The more that we have, the greater education that we can do with those, and we can make sure there's more equity in diagnoses for all children across the board. So please think about whether your institution would like to sign up, or whether you yourself have got images of yourself or your children that you would want to submit for us. That would be something that we would love for you to do. And number three, I suppose, please have a look at all your teaching materials and see if there's anything that you can do to add any of not just our images, but just any images of different skin tones into that to increase the diversity.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been great listening to hearing about the Skin Deep project, and hopefully about, as you say, the impact that these clinical photographs can have for children and young people living with skin conditions. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Molly.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website bdng.org.uk and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.